Good morning and welcome to the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined with special guests today who are from both Project 7B and also from the University of Utah, a group of students. I'm going to introduce you all, and then I'm going to ask for an introduction from the Project 7B folks. So our guests this morning are Utah, University of Utah students, Emily, pronounce your last name for me.
Sang,
good morning, Emily. Taylor Greenwell, good morning, Taylor.
Morning.
Angela Tran, good morning, Angela.
Morning.
And Professor Stephen Goldsmith, Department of City and Metropolitan Planning, Urban Ecology Workshop. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. In addition to this group, we've got others, and these are two representatives from a nonprofit group in Bonner County called Project 7B, and I'm here with Daniel Schlofferman, who is our committee chair for this group.
That's correct.
And another committee member, Carol Curtis. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
Carol, you're also a local real estate agent in the area, which I imagine is going to give you some background about the county. Thank you for joining us this morning. So with that, I'm going to ask Daniel and Carol to tell us a bit about Project 7B, and then we'll hear more from Stephen Goldsmith and from the students.
Yes, Project 7B is a nonpartisan group without specific policy or regulatory objectives. We simply were formed to help the residents of Bonner County understand and become more involved in land use planning. We decided early in our existence to advocate for transparent land use planning and processes and encourage public education and involvement in these processes. We do not advocate for specific outcomes or specific policies or regulations. And Project 7B last year applied for and received a grant from the Inovia Foundation to conduct a minimum of 6 listening sessions in Bonner County. And over a 4-day period last September, 13 students from the University of Utah's Department of City and Metropolitan Planning Urban Ecology Workshop, spearheaded by Professor Stephen Goldsmith, surveyed Bonner County residents, both face-to-face and in an online format, to assess and inventory what exactly the residents of Bonner County valued about their community. They came here as honest brokers to listen attentively to residents wanting to reflect the values, aspirations, and fears of the citizens. They've returned over the weekend to present three seminars to present their findings to the community, and we're here today to discuss that.
All right, and Daniel, I understand while you're interested in this topic, you had some planning and zoning experience in Minnesota. Carol, why are you interested in being part of this group?
Oh, I just believe in education. So if the folks in our county don't know what's happening in a timely manner or understand processes and procedures, then they don't really know until they're right on top of an important decision and kind of weighing in at a time that is less effective. Plus, as we grow as an area, whether we want to grow or not, just due to other things going on in the marketplace nationally, people coming, people loving our community, it's nice to see a dialogue going on with all different players and partners about the best way to approach things.
Yes, people need to understand a bit more about their planning and zoning, and it's good to understand what the possibilities are, and this helps by having a group from the university join us. Well, we've heard a bit about Project 7B. Let's move on to the University of Utah. Stephen Goldsmith, tell us about this. Tell us about what you've done here, and how did you come to be here?
Well, first, thank you for inviting us to share our experience with your listeners this morning. We have a faculty member at the University of Utah named Danya Ramore, and she is from Sandpoint. And she'd been observing the work that we had been doing with our listening to projects throughout the country and said, you know, I think that our community, my community, could really use one of your listening projects to come to Sandpoint. Would you be willing to do that? And I said, you know, we have so many requests for this because we only go to places where we're invited. We never go to places where we're not invited. And she said, please consider it. And then we got a call from Molly O'Reilly. And she said, why don't you come by and why don't you consider doing this? And we have some funding to help your students get here. And I thought, because of Danya's love of this place, and this is really about the love of a place, that we, I said, I'd be happy to do that. You're a dear colleague of mine, so I'll see if I can get the students to join us. And sure enough, we came up here starting in September and haven't had a remarkable experience listening to your community.
What is a listening to project?
There are a couple of different parts of this. First of all, the citizens are the experts in the places where we go. The students, even though they're learning a great deal about urban planning, rural planning, urban design, and other parts of what it takes to create good places, that when they come to a rural community like Bonner County, they're able to see some of the tensions that we face in the United States today, because our students may end up in cities all over the country. And this is, in some ways, and I hope that your listeners are not offended by this, but it's really a laboratory. It's a place to come and listen and come to understand. And through that process, to reflect back to the community what their values are, what their concerns are, what their hopes, what their dreams are. And that's what we came here to do.
And this isn't your first project, of course. So tell us a bit about previous projects.
We got a call once from a city council member from Mobridge, South Dakota, a small community not unlike Sandpoint in some ways, but without the rich resources that you have here, to see if we would come and do it, because none of the universities in either North Dakota or South Dakota were willing to do that there. We found similarly here that there were none of the Idaho colleges and universities that wanted to do that as well. So we started in Mobridge, took a bus through the Black Hills, long drive. Students stayed with families, such as we have been able to do here. And we did this, we've done this in many what we call gateway communities. We've done it in Springdale, Utah. We've done this in counties of Utah. We've done it in Bluff, Utah. We just did it in Bryce Canyon City in Utah. We've done it really in a number of places. And it's just grown to be a very popular program. And as I mentioned, a lot of communities throughout the West and the Midwest have asked us to come and do this.
Sure. What is the process?
Process starts with, the process starts with students coming to do some research about the history of a place, talking to those people who invited us to develop the survey questions. What are the concerns of the people who invite us? And we develop a survey. We put that online in a website. In this case, it's listening to bonnercounty.org. And then we come to the community and we start to have conversations in as many venues as we can. And Daniel and his colleagues at 7B have been absolutely fantastic in setting up. I don't remember the number. I think we had like 8 or 10 different venues that we went to all throughout the county. And that's the process. It's truly about listening and then reflecting. And the students at the conclusion begin to assemble their thoughts about what might be some next steps. We don't come with answers. We don't come with cookie-cutter solutions to a community, because every community is so different. So they assemble their ideas, put it into a book, which is downloadable by your listeners. They can go to listeningtobonnercounty.org and they can download the document and see if they can find their experience in there as well.
Well, let's hear about who responded to the surveys. You were all over the county filling out surveys. Would some of the students like to share what happened and some of the interesting responses you got?
Taylor. Sure. We talked to everyone like across the county. We wish we could have gotten to more, but we talked to areas like Priest Lake. We went to the Walmart here in Sandpoint. I went to a number of other libraries, Clark Fork, Sandpoint Library. I went to the Preparedness Expo that was happening during that time. And so we talked to a wide range of individuals in Bonner County. And then we also got a wide range of responses to the online survey as well. So, and it was just, the focus was mainly obviously the starting point of demographics, but it was also issues of concern. What residents were worried about, what they wanted to see, in the county and in the area, and it was just trying to get to know what their hopes were, what their fears were, and trying to reflect that back to the residents.
Sure. Emily or Angela, are you able to share any of the responses about what were people's greatest concerns? Would one of you like to tackle that? Oh, it's Emily.
There are quite a few things. We saw one of the biggest concerns surrounding the environment, such as air quality, things with water. And then from there, it kind of just expanded to other topics. We're just trying to get as much information from the survey as possible, like whatever anybody wanted to talk to us about, whether that be land use or mobility. And going back to the how we collected information for the survey, we didn't anticipate that there'd be so many retirees. We also didn't anticipate that we just could not get a hold of the youth. And that was another response as well with like the affordable housing and kind of what's happening with the youth population of coming here, going to high school, but then at the end kind of moving out to different states or just getting their education elsewhere.
Sure. And Angela, in not being able to find the young people, you made an attempt, didn't you? I think you were at the high school and you were at places where youth might gather, but they're just busy, aren't they, compared to retirees?
Yeah, we were there only during the time when, during lunch. Mm. So they were always just like going around trying to get lunch. They only had like 30 or 40 minutes to eat, so they didn't get a chance to talk to us a lot, or they were just pulled away from friends. But I can see that the youth really cares about the community here, and they want to be more engaged in what we were doing. And at the library, we actually had this fun experience with this young man, and he was just loving the place. He was showing us everywhere, like everywhere to eat, places to see, and pictures that he was taking, like whenever he goes hiking. And it's just amazing to see that love here in the community.
Sure. So I'm hearing that some of the concerns were environment, concern that you all had, and hoping that you would have a well-represented survey. We're trying to find people of all ages, and that was a concern for you. How many folks responded to the survey? Did you feel it was an adequate number to give you a fair outcome?
So we had over 200 responses. I think it was in the area of like 280 people responding to our survey in total. That was a combination of people who responded online and then also the hard copy surveys that we took and had people fill out while we were here. So we were actually pretty excited about how many people filled it out. We would have liked to see more, but it provided a lot of data for us to be able to listen, reflect back. And we had a lot of comments on the survey, too.
Well, that's good to hear. Stephen, let's return to you for a moment. You completed the surveys. You returned to the university. What happened next?
The process of unpacking the information that we receive is a lengthy and debated conversation. Because we know we can't reach all 40,000 people who are in the county, roughly. So how do we parse the information we received to try to reflect as accurately as we can some of the trends that we heard? And sometimes we would sit and talk about the anecdotes, the experience that the students had by sitting with other people. And I'll give you one example. When we were up at the Clark Fork Library, one of the teachers from the high school sat with us. We just captured people as we could and gave them a survey and asked if they would take 5 minutes to fill it out. She stayed with us for over an hour talking about her experience, her observations of some of the critical concerns that take place up in her area. She was describing the challenges of students who she actually described as raised by wolves. These are sometimes kids whose parents may have serious substance abuse problems or otherwise can't give them the resources they need. And what the school system does and the teachers do with such limited resources to take care of the people in their area. And I think that was one of the conversations we had, was this community of care. We just found that so no matter which side of issues people may have jumped on, that there was a community of care, not always a community of understanding, not always a community even of empathy, but there was certainly a community of understanding. So we would talk about those challenges. We talked about some of the divisions here and what we might recommend for ways to bridge some of those divides. So that was the process, a lot of conversation. And then there's a lot of work that the students do, obviously, to build their skill set. This is a learning experience for them. They don't come with an agenda. We genuinely come to listen. So they're building their skill sets, learning how to use the design tools for the document, learning how to do survey analytics. So that's the process when we get back there. And I want to make one other comment about that is the three students who are with us today, if you think of making an espresso and you get that great crema at the top, one of my strategies in doing listening to projects is to cultivate leadership. And these three students have broken their backs to do the kind of work that we hope is of value to your community.
It's wonderful to hear that, and wonderful to hear that you three and the entire class were interested enough to take on Bonner County and listen to us. So do you feel that you had a representative sample? I guess that's a question that I have, because you're out doing surveys. I know there was an online site that folks could go to, but it's got to always be one of the biggest challenges for work like this.
I would offer you this. The folks at 7B who are truly attempting to be the best stewards of Bonner County that they can be, bent over backwards to create opportunities for your citizens to come and meet with us or to give them an opportunity to fill out the survey. And in that sense, it is representative because there was a broad-based approach to gather people's voices. That by itself is representative of community care. Whether or not 280 respondents reflect the broad majority of the community, we can't say, but because the invitation was there and put out there so boldly and broadly, I think it is representative. And of the findings, and the students can speak more to this, but I think one of the biggest pieces we came away with in the survey, the majority of people in Bonner County, they want to be involved in visualizing the future of the community. They want to be engaged. And to come here and recognize that and to share with the community their desire to participate, I think is by itself a great outcome.
I have to agree. And one can only ask people to participate, and the folks that do participate are the ones that make changes and look to the future. So that's what we do to try and get people involved. Good on you all. Let's move on to some of the results. I'm looking here. I'm standing and looking at a lovely publication. It's titled Listening to Bonner County. It looks like it's a picture of Lake Pendere on the cover. Maybe it's not. Is it Priest Lake? I hope it's Lake Pendere. It's beautiful, though. And there are results. There are summaries of communities. There are lots of potential opportunities for short, medium, and long term. Let's talk about some of those. Taylor.
Yes. Yes, at the end of the booklet, we have a list of we call them opportunities rather than necessarily goals. They're just things that when we were listening to during our sessions, they were brought up by residents, and then we also did a lot of research as well. And so we have short term, medium, and long term, and they're based around the different sections we have in the book. So it may range from the rural-urban divide that we discussed extensively in the book, digital divide, mobility, possible precedents of other areas in country that have similar character to Bonner County and have managed to do some pretty remarkable things. And so we just base it around that sort of that scope of medium, short-term, and long-term.
Sure. Would each of the students like to address one of the opportunities, the short, the medium, and the long?
Kind of adding on to what Taylor was saying.
And this is Emily.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted this document to become a tool for residents to use. So it doesn't matter if they're part of an organization or not. If they see that they want to make a change, they have the resources to do so. So while they're looking throughout this document, we have all of the resources we used to research. So then they can potentially see like everything that we've been seeing and use that to how they want to, whether they agree or disagree with what we've said in this document.
But some tools with some information that would allow them to take the next step, possibly.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk about the short, the medium, and the long term. Emily, what about the short term opportunities?
So for each section in the document, we kind of made specific short-term opportunities for like the rural-urban divide, for instance, like starting out small and moving forward with conversations, and like really building that sense of community, even just like carrying on those discussions and engaging with each other just in events like farmers markets, within schools, at libraries, things like that. Addressing things with a digital divide and housing, the dark skies. They're kind of covering all those topics and then moving into medium term opportunities.
Yeah, sure. And Taylor, why don't you address the medium term?
So as far as medium term goes, kind of building on what was a really big topic of the book, of the rural-urban divide, the idea that there are these very significant social, economic, and political differences that split urban-rural residents. This is very prominent in Bonner County, but it's also a national phenomenon that you see all across the country. And we kind of use this idea, it's a dominant theme throughout the booklet. So, for instance, in the medium term for this particular section, there's an idea of securing a neutral facilitator to guide facilitated discussions between all community stakeholders, and then creating a targeted framework on bridging this significant gap that you see in Bonner County. The advantage of, for instance, having a neutral facilitator is that it creates a higher degree of trust in the process. All the parties involved who already have a high degree of distrust on the opposing sides, they are less likely to feel like the process is being skewed against them by a biased party, because it's a neutral individual trying to just guide the discussions, not put it in any one single direction. So that's kind of the medium term, and then in the long term, building upon those.
All right. And Angela, why don't you tell us a bit about the long term opportunities?
For the long term, since it does take a long process to do implementing some stuff, it listed that in our booklet, it says draw on legislative/administrative plan to be implemented based on the outcomes of the facilitated discussions. And another one was maintain community building activities. The rural urban divide will always be a defining issue, and maintaining hard won dialogue is essential to holding onto any progress.
So it sounds like the sort of the path that we're following is to establish some communication between parties that don't necessarily agree on where the county needs to go, and working on trust building, and then eventually maybe making some changes that would end up in potentially regulatory or planning, zoning, that sort of thing. Maybe
Julie, if I can jump in here.
Yes.
One of the findings that I think is important for the community to realize is what is known as the digital divide. And maybe Taylor can explain what the digital divide is, how it's manifesting itself throughout the county, and some of the short-term opportunities there would be to bridge that.
Yes, let's run back to that.
So Taylor, the idea of a digital divide, it's really part of the rural-urban divide. It's the idea that there is a split. Urban residents tend to have much greater access to technology such as internet, stable internet services, as well as telecommunications. And this puts them at a significant economic advantage because the world is changing. Having access to these technologies is an economic development asset. And so having this split between rural and urban residents, with rural areas not having as much access, which we saw personally when we were traveling throughout Bonner County, as soon as you get outside of Sandpoint, it can be very difficult to have access to a signal.
Tell me about it. I didn't have internet for about a year after I moved here.
Exactly.
So, a lot of time at the library.
Yeah. So like at Priest Lake, for instance, that's one of our listening sessions. And the Priest Lake Library is a community center for that area, and it's largely because it has stable internet access. So residents come there to be able to access this internet. So the idea is to kind of help bridge this and create a greater degree of economic equality by expanding those access to those services to rural areas, enabling telecommunications and internet access. So that was a very big dominant theme as well within the book.
Sure. And that would be something that our county leaders would have to help facilitate, possibly.
Yes.
But if that could get to them, I'm certain that they're aware of it being an issue. But, of course, more discussion and more encouragement can only help get people there.
The county's created some safety nets for its residents to access some digital media through libraries and community centers. That is a really important part of this. But you can imagine if you're a teenager living in Clark Fork and you're trying to do your college application, you're trying to fill out an application for scholarships, and they can take 20 or 30 or 40 or even longer minutes to do. And if you have a disruption in your internet service, it cancels everything you've done. And the frustrations around trying to participate in the culture of this country, the economic culture of this country, because of that divide, is a real challenge and can create a lot of setbacks. You know, we do our banking now online. And if you can't be a part of the economy of this country through the new technologies, it creates barriers. You know, this whole urban-rural divide was fascinating, sometimes disturbing for our students. And I think there's some ways to define this that might be useful for your listeners. When we were coming here, there were many people responding on Facebook and in other sites that we weren't welcome here, that we were coming here to do other people's bidding, and we were trying to urbanize the rural areas of Idaho, which is certainly not the case. And there is a there is a rural character, and sometimes it's visual character, sometimes it's the landscape of a place, sometimes it's the culture of a place. But we began to hear that there was such a resistance to people who they considered liberals coming from Utah, which is ironic in itself, that we were here to try to create a homogeneous way of building communities. So there is some defensiveness that we find with urban-rural divides. There is a belief that we don't share common values. And one of the exciting outcomes of doing this listening project was realizing where the common ground does exist. So the common ground around air quality bridges that divide because everybody in Bonner County expressed a desire to ensure the air quality here. Another example that we sort of prompted with our survey question was the access to the night sky. In many urban areas around the world, people can't see the Milky Way anymore. You can hardly see many stars at all. And people here in Bonner County said, no, that really is a value that we have. So there are these bridging opportunities between what people think are urban values and rural values that come to light through these listening sessions.
They were enlightening, weren't they? You really found that there is common ground, despite very different backgrounds and places of residents, et cetera. So there is common ground, and that's probably one of the biggest findings, isn't it?
Yeah, we were very encouraged to see how these are first steps, and also that the people of Bonner County have an opportunity truly to be national leaders with the thought leadership that comes from finding ways to bridge those divides. This is a microcosm here in Bonner County of what's happening around the country. And the opportunity for your elected leaders, for citizens like 7B, to really set a model of how you can find these values and bridge them and build community together as opposed to tear communities apart.
Well, you've told us a lot about how the project and the study might help this county move forward, helping residents understand one another, potentially making some changes and improving the rural-urban divide, the internet, the digital divide. But additionally, it does give hope for a future where Bonner County can make some good decisions together. It's going to be interesting for me to read the rest of the pamphlet, the magazine that you've produced. Question for the students. Are you finished here? Is your job done now?
So as far as the job being done in Bonner County, from what I've heard from Stephen on previous workshops, there will oftentimes be a few students who become attached to the community. I certainly have become very attached to Bonner County. It's been a beautiful place to be in. I really enjoyed it. So many students will oftentimes check in on basically how the area is progressing and outcomes from a lot of this work. But as far as work that we'll be doing in Bonner County, this is kind of the conclusion of our work. We're leaving it for the residents on what they want to do. That was the whole point of this project, is not to quote-unquote help, or it's simply to listen and reflect back. And it's all about the residents, what they want to do, what the community wants to do. So while we may check in and see how things are going, our actual involvement is Most likely I could conclude after this, at least on my end.
Sure, the project is complete for you undergrads. Now, a question to the three of you, Emily, Taylor, and Angela. Do you feel that this project will impact your future careers or what you do with your undergrad degrees? Has it changed you at all?
Yeah, it definitely has. I've never done anything like this before, and it's been a really valuable learning experience, just in terms of like getting the survey together and thinking critically about what needs to be in there and who we're reaching out to, kind of thinking about like every step that we take is important and how we get there, but also just talking to the people about what they like in their community and how I can see it different from mine, but also see a lot of commonalities between us. But it's just been a very great learning experience. And making this document and presenting has just been very important skills for us to learn, and I think we can carry it on to pretty much any career that we go into.
No kidding. You could take that publication to a corporation, and they would be very happy with it. It's a great publication. Taylor, any additional thoughts?
Yeah, this has definitely had a real impact on basically my perspectives of like city and rural planning. At least in my education, we tend to focus more on urban areas when trying to look at things. And so having this exposure to how different and unique and special rural communities are, the unique challenges they face, it's really opened up a lot of new knowledge, opportunities, different skill set. And as far as opportunities go, I mean, working in rural communities is something I've really found a lot of enjoyment out of. I'm actually doing the next workshop that we're doing in Escalante, Utah. So I obviously got a bug for it. And so I'm excited to be able to keep doing it.
Yes,
down the line.
You'll have to go from skiing to a bicycling community, maybe. Yes.
Yes.
And Angela, anything you'd like to share about your experience?
Yeah, this project has really enhanced my life mission purpose. Like, it's really to help everyone in any way that I can. But the first thing to do is for actively listen to others. And in order for me going in this field, it's creating cities and or not cities, places for people. For truly for them, because everyone really cares about where they live and they want to protect what they have here. And I really do want to help them with those projects and everything that's happening for them.
Well, it sounds like it was a very positive experience for the students and also for the folks in the county that contributed. And I'll move on as we come to a close and bring back our 7B folks and ask them what the next steps might be. You've now got a a really interesting publication that we can find either at the library or online. What's happening next with Project 7B, guys? Carol.
Well, our next goal will be to disseminate this information because there's so much going on in our area that people often don't have an opportunity to participate in things because they don't realize it's going on. So it'll be helping to get this information out. I just found when they did their first presentation last night, that the definition of what urban is was really fascinating because it's so much smaller. I think when you hear that word, you tend to think of a big city. And I believe, Stephen, you said 2,500 or less is rural, 2,500 or more is urban. So it gave some neat perspective and they had some terrific suggestions, and all of which thematically are about conversations. So I personally hope 7B can continue to encourage conversations between stakeholders and partners and nonprofits and other entities to facilitate us all better understanding what's going on.
Seems so. Daniel, anything to add?
Sure, I just echo the, what Carol has expressed, but it is our task now to Project 7B to go back and look at this information and really look at our planning and our goals and how we can incorporate the community and come out with some real objectives here. So we just received this information the last couple of days and the last week, and we'll be having meetings and concerned citizens are certainly welcome to go to project7b.org and look online. That publication, Listening to Bonner County, will be there as well. Our contact information, and to subscribe to a newsletter as well.
Thank you. And as we wrap up, I'm going to give the last word to our esteemed professor, Dr. Goldsmith, Stephen Goldsmith. Any last words?
The opportunity to be here has enriched the students. The opportunity to observe the kind of care that the 7B volunteers give to being stewards of their community, I think, has impressed our students greatly. There's a phrase that I think was Longfellow who said, "Judge your days not by what you reap, but by what you sow." And we've sown hopefully some seeds here that will come back. And your question earlier about do the students follow up on this? Our experience has been that students harvest information through newspapers in the area. I've had emails from students. Did you see that the work we did 10 years ago in Mobridge actually that led to them doing the development along the riverfront that we talked about? Did you see that the town of Bluff actually incorporated after we were able to help them see the opportunities around incorporation? So coming away with it from this opportunity and seeing ways that the devoted stewards like Ellen over at the Senior Citizen Center whom we met, there are these unique individuals whose compassion and unselfish ways of taking care of your community came to light to us. And I think is a last word to celebrate the commitment of the people in this community, no matter which side of the divide they may be on. There is this common ground. And we hope that through our process that the healing and repairing and transforming of Bonner County that so many people have indicated they want can take some steps forward now.
Well, what a nice concluding statement, and I hope it turns out that way. I know that everyone in the county would be well served if that could be an outcome. I want to thank our guests this morning. We've been talking with Project B, Daniel Schlafferman, chairman of the committee, and Carol Curtis, committee member for Project 7B. Additionally, we've had University of Utah students Emily Sang, Taylor Greenwell, Angela Tran, and then Professor Stephen Goldsmith, Department of City and Metropolitan Planning, Urban Ecology Workshop. This has been a really interesting interview. You've heard it here on KRFY 88.5 FM. You can listen to it later if you miss part or all of it at krfy.org. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine.